Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hey Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Mishnah, the last piece of Gemara we learned in the previous shiur, had introduced the concept of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay. If a neder is partially annulled, the neder is considered entirely annulled. Our shiur today, Mitzvah Shem, will discuss the parameters and the basis of this halacha. Amar Rava, says Rava, the Kuli Alma, in understanding this halacha, which as we learned in the Mishnah, really is a machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, if we say neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay. And it's important to note that we're going to explain our Gemara according to the explanation of the Ran. Tosfos and the Rosh have somewhat of a different explanation, but we really have one long sugya, so it's confusing to bring in different shitas. So we're going to remain, Be'ezer Hashem, consistent with the opinion of the Ran. It says Rabbah, the Kula Alma Kolhecha the Alma Ili Hayisya Deya, Shabbat Benechem. Everybody agrees that that the person, as the case of the Mishnah goes, he saw people eating his figs, and he's upset that the people are eating his figs, and he says in neder that those figs should be ushered to the people, and then he realizes that amongst those people are his father, his brother, and he says, Ili Hayisa Yedeya, had I been aware, Sh'abbe Nechem, my father's with you, Hayisi Omer, Kulchem, Asurim, Chutz Mi Abba, you all remain ushered to eat these figs, except for my father, Chutz Mi Abba, the Kulan Asurim, V'Aviv Mutar. All of them are also besides his father. So as the Ran explains, the situation that happened here was, his original neder was, Kulchem Asurim, all of you are also to eat my figs. He's staying with that language of Kulchem Asurim. All he's doing is, he's adding two words, Chutz Mi Abba. So says Rava, since there's insignificant change from his original neder to his current neder, the halacha is that we don't apply, everybody agrees we don't apply the concept of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay. Lo nechaku, where's the machlokes by Sham by Silul if we apply the concept of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay? Ela ba'ayme ili ha'yisi yodei sh'abba b'neichem, ha'yisi ayme plani asurim v'abba mutar. In this situation, as Duran explains, there are two changes. His original terminology, his original wording, was Kulchem Asurim. Now he says he wouldn't have said Kulchem Asurim. He would have specified the individuals who may not eat the figs, and he also would have used the words Chutz Mi Abba. So since there would have been two changes, two differences, the wording of the neder would have changed. Plus he would have added Chutz Mi Abba. Here, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Kiva say, neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay, and Beis Shammai still doesn't apply the concept of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay. And as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, it goes the other way too. Had he originally said plini u plini asurim, and now he says what I would have said is kulchem asurim chutz mi abba, so it again represents two changes. He would have changed the terminology from plini u plini to kulchem, and he would have added the chutz mi abba. So we'll see in the Gemara soon, Rava will hold that in that case too, Rabbi Kiva Beis Hillel say neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay, and Beis Shammai continued not agreeing with that concept of neder shehuta miktsasai huta kulay. That's how the Ran explains Rava's opinion. The Mefarshim discuss two interesting shailas. One shaila the Keren Ohr discusses. What will be the halacha? In this neder, it's possible to change the wording. Because to prohibit those people from eating my figs, I could say it in one of two ways. I could say kulchem asurim, or I could say plini plini, you and you and you are asurim. So the Gemara could talk about a situation where I say would have changed the wording of a neder. But not every neder could be expressed in two different types of ways. The example he gives is, let's say I say I'm not going to eat grapes and figs. And then I say I'm not going to eat only, I want to be able to eat grapes. There aren't two ways of expressing that. What's going to be halacha in such a situation? Says the Keren Ohr, in a situation where we don't have the option in a situation where we don't have the option of changing the wording of the nether, there, according to Rava's explanation, everybody will agree we don't say nether shotem ktsasei hotekulei. Another shaila that the Rishonim discuss is, here we have a situation where the nether was expressed in one way, and we asked him, when he comes to say, I didn't mean to include my father in the nether, we asked him, so how would you express the nether? And he says, I would have expressed it differently, and I also would have said, chutz mi abba. That's when Hillel or Rabbi Kiva say, we say, nether shutu miktasa hutu kulay. What will be the halacha, asked the Rishonim, when a person comes to the Rav, he says to us, chutz mi abba, but he never had an opportunity to say if he would have changed his wording or not. And he's not here. So now the question is, do we assume they would have changed his wording, or do we assume he wouldn't have changed his wording? Machlokes Rashba and Rabbeinu Avraham and Ahar. Machlokes Rishonim. The Rashba says we can't assume they would have changed his wording unless we explicitly heard him change his wording. And Rabbi Avraham and Ahar says, no, we could assume that the person would have changed his wording, and we could apply the concept of Neder Shotem Miktsasei Hotekulei. That's the way Rava explains the machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rava has a different interpretation, much more lenient interpretation. Rava says, the kolo alma kolhecha da oma ilo hayisi yodea shaba v'necha. Any situation where originally he said a nether of kolchem asurim, and now he comes and he does two things. He says, if I recognize that my father was there, I would have, number one, hayisi oima plaini asurim, so he would have changed his wording, plus va'aba mutter, so we have these two changes. Says Rava, here there's no machloikas. Everybody agrees that we say neder shotem ktsasei hotekulei, even Beis Shammai. Loi nechelku, when do we have the machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? Ela ba'oima ilo hayisi yodea shaba b'neichem, if I was aware that my father was amongst you, amongst the group of people eating the figs, hayisi yoima kulchem asurim chutz mi abba. We only have one thing working in our favor, that he would have said chutz mi abba, but he would have not changed his wording. In that case, says Rava, Beis Shammai Savri, we don't say neder shotem miktsasei hotekulei. Why? Because Beis Shammai Savri like Rameya. Beis Shammai holds like Rameya. Very famous machlokes, Rameya and Rabbi Yossi. A big portion of Masechta Temura evolves around this machlokes. The Torah says, lo yamirenu. If I have an animal that I designated as a carbon, and there's nothing wrong with the animal, I designated it as a carbon, and I go and I want a substitute, I want to transfer the kedusha from this animal to another animal, tells us the Torah, lo yamirenu, you shouldn't do it. A very interesting situation, very rarely found in the Torah. Says the Torah, v'homa v'homa yamiraisai, if you do it. People don't always do what they're supposed to do. Himhama yamiraisai, a person does attempt to do the transfer. The Torah says, v'hayahu usmarasai yia kaidish. The original animal remains kodesh, and the new animal is kaidish. That's the din of the Torah. Ramei and Rabbi Yossi discussed the following situation. When you say a tamura, you say tamurasa ye oila, tamurasa ye shlam. You could designate what kind of carbon it'll be. What will be if a person says tamurasa ye oila v'shlam? It can't be an oila and a shlam. It's either an oila or a shlam. So Rameyer says we follow the concept of tfoy slush and rishon. The first thing he said is what we consider primary. So if he said it should be an oila and a shlam, tfoy slush and rishon, and has a din of an oila. Rabbi Yossi, and this is the way I always understand Rabbi Yossi, he says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability, Zoch v'sham v'dibah echad nemru. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say two words exactly at the same time. We people, even people who speak quickly, could only say one word at a time. So he can say oila and shlamim at the same time. So when he said oila and shlamim, says Rabbi Yossi, what he meant to say was that it should have the kedusha both of an oila and shlamim, and therefore the animal should be sold. Half the proceeds should be used as a carbon oila, half the proceeds should be used as a carbon shlam. Says Rava, in a case where a person originally said kulchem asurim, and now he repeats himself, kulchem asurim chutz mi abba, we follow according to Beis Shammai the opinion of Rameya, tfoy slush and rishon. and we followed a Kulcha Masurim, and the nether is still valid. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, followed opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that we don't only follow Tvais Lashon Rishon, we look at the entire sentence. And since Chutz Mi'ab is part of the sentence, we have a situation of Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Let's read the words in the Gemara. Beis Shammai Savalek Rameya. Beis Shammai follows the opinion of Rameya. Domer, who says Tvais Lashon Rishon, we follow the first part of a sentence. The first part of a sentence is Kulcha Masurim, and that's why it's Asur. Beis Hillel Savalek Rabbi Yossi. Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yossi. Domer, Begvar Adam Dvar of Adam Nitfas, and as the Ran explains, we look at the whole sentence. So Rishonim ask an obvious question. The way Rav is explaining the machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it actually is the machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is the opinion of Beis Hillel. Ramei's opinion is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Comes out the Ramei is saying like Beis Shammai. Ask the Rishonim. Throughout Shas, we know that we always want every Tana wants to have his opinion consistent with Beis Hillel, because the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. So how's Ramei saying something that only works with Beis Shammai? So I saw two terutzim in the Rishonim. One terutz the Rishonim say is, the Ramei holds that there's no machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He never received the Masairi, he never received a limud that there's machlokes Beis Shammai regarding this subject. Another terutz, which is a beautiful terutz, in the case that we gave of the machlokes of Ramei and Rabbi Yossi, where the person said it should be oil of Ashlamim, those two statements cannot coexist. It's either an Oila or a Shlamim. They contradict each other. In the case of Beis Hillel, Kulcha Masurim, Chutz Me'aba, could coexist. Everybody else is Osir. My father is Mutter. So Ramei will say, since the two statements could coexist, there's no machlokes here, everybody could agree that we look at both sentences. When does Rameyah say, I say that we only look at the first part, that the first part is primary, when the first part and the second part contradict each other? So I have to choose. So Rameyah says, choose the first part. But in a case where they could coexist, says Rameyah, they could coexist, so then there's no problem. Kulcha Masurim, Chutz Mi'ab, could coexist. Esfei Rapapa L'Rava. Ask Rapapa to Rava's explanation. But it's important, I think, that before we get further in the Gemara, we just review quickly what we learned today, Rava and Rava's explanation of the Machloikas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. As I said, Rava has a more stringent understanding. According to Rava, if there was no Shinui Haloshin, if there was no changing of terminology, everybody agrees we don't say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. If there was changing of the wording, we have Machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says we still don't say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Beis Hillel says we do say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Rava, more lenient. He says in a situation where the wording was changed, everybody will agree we say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay, even Beis Shammai. In a situation where the wording wasn't changed, Beis Hillel will still say we say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay, and Beis Shammai will say then we don't say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Ask the Gemara. Esver Apapala Rava. There's a Mishnah on Daf Samech Vav Amun Aleph. Actually, we've already encountered this Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ketzed Amar Rabbi Akiva. In what case did Rabbi Akiva apply the concept of Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay? If somebody says, Koinim She'ani Nenel Kulchem, somebody makes a Neder, I will not have any benefit from any of you. Huta Echmehem, if one of them becomes Mutter, Huta Kulam. That's one case. If somebody says a Neder, the second case of the Mishnah, Sheni nena loylazeh veloylazeh. I won't have benefit from first person, second person, third person. Dalach is huta rishon huta kulam. If one of them becomes mutter, they all become mutter. The third case, huta achron. If the last person becomes mutter, haachron mutter. The last person is mutter, but it doesn't affect anyone else. For the rest of the individuals, kulan asurim, they remain prohibited. Says the Gemara. So again, to review, we have three cases in the Mishnah. Case one, we say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Case two, we also seemingly, at least at this point, say Neder Shuta Mekzasa Huta Kulay. Case three, we don't. And the Mishnah says that this Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, and again, this is the Ran's explanation, beautiful explanation. Bishlam L'Rava, Rava will explain the Mishnah in the following fashion. Mukama L'Reisha, Dama Lezeh Lezeh. The Sefer Dama L'Kulcham. Rava will explain that the first two cases of the Mishnah represent situations where he changed his wording. And let me explain what I mean. In the first case, he originally said, Kochem Asurim Chutz Mizeh, and now he changed and said, Zeveze Osir Chutz Mizeh. So he changed his word from Kochem to Pliny and Pliny. The second case is just the opposite. He originally said, Pliny you Pliny, and then he said, Kochem. But both cases represent situations that he changed his wording. According to Rava, when he changed his wording, Rabbi Kiva, Beis Hillel, would tell us, Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. The last case, he didn't change his wording. Everybody agrees that if he didn't change his wording, we don't say Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai, and that's why Rabbi Kiva will agree we don't, since he didn't change his wording, we don't say Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. The Ran goes on to explain, just the lomdus, the understanding of why people would do certain things. He says, why would a person, going back to Al-Gamar, who started off with Kulchem Asurim, and now realized that his followers amongst the group changed his wording to Pliny Upliny, he says like this, if somebody says Kulchem Asurim, he means everybody. That's the words, very simple words. He recognizes his father is there. If he's going to repeat the words Kulchem Asurim, you standing there before I get to the end of the sentence, I only could say one word at a time, I said, will think I'm using the words Kulchem Asurim. Look at this person. He's including his father and prohibiting him from benefit. So that's why the person is going to change from Kulchem Asurim to Pliny to Pliny. Then nobody should ever think that I included my father. On the other hand, there's a reason to think the other way, as there always is. If I started with Kulchem Asurim, so Kulchem Asurim is two words. It's all. And then I say Chutz Me'Abba, so I get to the Chutz Me'Abba very quickly. If I start saying Pliny you Pliny you Pliny, there could be a lot of people there. So you listening to me saying this nether, and I'm starting to list, this one is Asur, this one is Asur, this one is Asur, it's going to take you a long time to recognize that I don't want to do it to my father, which is a situation that I don't want people to even have a havamina, that I'm going to prohibit my father from benefit. So that's why some people could argue that Kulchem Asurim Chutz Me'Abba is a better wording. Some people could argue that Pliny Pliny Chutz Me'Abba is better wording. That's why, says the Ran, in the explanation of the Mishnah according to Rabba, any changing is considered a change, and therefore if you have a change plus the Chutz Me'Abba, Rabbi Kiva, who's the Tan of that Mishnah, will say, we say, Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. And the last case is there was no change of wording, and as Rav explained at the beginning of our shiur today, when there's no change of wording, everybody agrees we don't say Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. But Elidach, continues the Gemara, according to Rava, Bishlam Ereisha, the first case of the Mishnah, Mukum LeKulchem, we could explain the first case of the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the person kept his words, was mamon his words. And that, according to Rava, reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Because Rabbi Kiva holds that if you don't change your words, according to Rava's explanation, it's still considered Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. But the problem is, how are we going to explain the next case of the Mishnah? And as the Ran says, we don't need two cases to tell us the same thing. To tell us that if you didn't change his wording, whether he started with Kulchem Asurim and remained with Kulchem Asurim, or whether he, and Chutz Me'Abba, or whether he started with Pliny, Pliny Asurim, and then he said Pliny, Pliny, Chutz Me'Abba, they're both the exact same din. So how am I going to explain, says the Gemara, the second case of the Mishnah, according to Rava? El Seif, the Amul Zeh, the next case must be referring to a case that he changed his words. But if he changed his words, we have a difficulty. According to Rava, it's not only Rabbi Kiva who holds that if you change your words, we say Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. Everybody holds that when you change your words, you say Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. So why is the Mishnah saying that it only reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? El Sefer Damal Azel Azeh. It must be that he changes his words. Rabbi Kiva he? So why are you saying that? Why is the Mishnah saying that this reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? Amai. Pligi Rabbana Alei. Why do Rabbana disagreeing? Why is that Mishnah saying that it only reflects the opinion of Rabbi Kiva? V'amrit, you Rava said that if he changes his words, Divrei Hakol, everybody agrees that Mutar we say Nedeshutim Ktsasa Hutakulai. So how am I going to explain the Mishnah? How am I going to explain that what the second case and the third case of that Mishnah say? Amalei Rava. So Rava says, Ula Rava, Rabbi Akiva Minicha. According to Rava, we said that the Mishnah works fine. Why do we say? Because we said that the first two cases in the Mishnah refer to a situation that he changed his wording. Just we gave two examples of changing wordings. And the last case, he didn't change wording. Say from the Maim Mokim Law, how are we explaining the last case of the Mishnah according to Rava? Damala Kochem. That he said the same wording. Haydin Rishav, Haydin Achron. But the Gemara focuses on the wording of the Mishnah. If the difference between the second case is that he changed his wording, and the third case is that he didn't change his wording, so then why is the Mishnah in the second case say, Harishin, Hutta Harishin Hutra Kulam, and in the last case the Mishnah used the words Hutta Achron Achron Mutter? It has nothing to do with Rishon Achron. It has to do that if he changed his wording, we say that they're all Mutter, and if he didn't change his wording, they're not all Mutter, just besides the person that he explicitly excluded. Why is the Mishnah calling them Rishon and Achron? What's the word Rishon? What's the word Achron? So even according to Rava, says Rava, the Mishnah doesn't make that much sense. So how must we explain the Mishnah? Says Rava, I have a way of explaining the Mishnah. Risha da Amal Kulchan. The Risha, says Rava, is referring to a case where he didn't change his wording. And he didn't change his wording. Still, the Mishnah, according to Rava, according to Rekiva, says, we still apply the concept of Neder Shutta Miktsasa Hutta Kulay. The next two cases of the Mishnah, says Rava, has nothing to do with Neder Shutta Miktsasa Hutta Kulay. It's a different situation altogether. The Sefer Kishtala Zebeze Vama Plani Kaplani, or Plani Kaplani, which means as follows. He says the next two cases in the Mishnah, he calls, and this is important just for the record, Rava, in his explanation, called the first two cases the Reisha, because they were the same, situation where he changed his wording, and the Sefer was the third case where he didn't change his wording. Rava calls the first case the Reisha, because there it's a situation of Nadishat Muktasa Tukulai, and the next two cases are called the Sefer. So according to Rava, the second case is the Sefer. According to Rava, the second case is part of the Reisha. The second and third case refer to a different situation altogether. And it's a very relevant halachic situation. Somebody makes a neder and says, I'm going to make whatever neder. And the next person says, I'm the same. And the next person says, I'm the same. So the first, the second person connected his neder to the neder of the first person. What should happen if the first person should have his nether annulled, since the second person tied his nether to the first person, then his nether falls, and then the third person's nether falls? What will happen, however, if the last person annuls his nether? That won't affect the previous individuals, because they didn't tie their nether to him. He tied their nether to his nether to them. That's what the Mishnah says. If the first person annuls his nether, so the entire line behind him falls. If the last person in the line annuls his nether, it doesn't affect the people before him. Let's read the words. The Sefer, the last two cases, are referring to Shetal and Zebazah. All the people on the line connected the nedarim one to the other. Vama plani ka plani ka plani ka tani. The Tanya, Deikonami. And that's what the Mishnah says. The Tanya, Hutam Tsoi. We can have a third situation. Let's say we have three people connecting the nedarim. And it's not the first person who has his nether annulled, not the last person. It's the middle person. So there are halachis. Hotram tsoi, if the middle person annuls his nether, himanu ulamatim mutarim, everybody behind him becomes annulled, because they connected their nether to him. Everybody before him, himanu ulamala, didn't tie their nether to him, he tied the nether to them, they remain asur. So we look at this Gemara, and we think to ourselves, very nice Gemara about nedarim, but how is this relevant, perhaps, to us in halacha lemaisa? So I saw the Shaar Metzion Ba'alacha speaks about two shailas that are directly related to this Gemara. Fascinating. First shaila could be very common. He says we're in a shul or by a dinner. And there's an appeal. And the first person, there's a person in the shul, very good intentions. He thinks, if I, maybe he's not even such a wealthy person necessarily, call out and make a very large pledge, it's going to cause a ripple effect. It's going to cause a domino effect that everybody here in the shul is going to give a lot. They're going to say, if he, not even such a wealthy person, not such a big Baal Tzedakah, gave such a large donation, certainly we, a wealthier, bigger Baal Tzedakah, that's how people are, are gonna give more. And that's exactly what happened. The first person did that. Then the truth comes out. He never meant to give such a large donation. He only did it for this purpose. So now, do all the other people have to fulfill their pledge? Could they say, we only pledge what we pledged, because the first person pledged such a large amount. But if he wouldn't have pledged such a large amount, I would have never pledged such a large amount. I mean, there's never issa to give tzedakah. But could they get out of their nether? He says, perhaps based on our Gemara, we could suggest that he can. Then he speaks to another situation, which is not as relevant to everyone. It's more relevant to Rabbonim. He says, many times we find that there's a shayla, halachic shayla that comes up, and it's sent to different Rabbonim for a decision, for a halachic, for a tshuva. So Rav writes a tshuva, and then that tshuva, this is very common in rabbinic correspondence, then that tshuva is taken on to other Rabbonim. So the first tshuva is taken to the second Rav, and he looks at the tshuva, and he agrees, and he writes a tshuva that he agrees, he may add, he may detract, but he agrees. And so it can continue to go to many Rabbonim, specifically when it's a very serious, complicated shaila. And then, let's say some of the Rabbonim, not the first Rav, some of the later Rabbonim pass away or are no longer available, and the first Rav changes his mind. He's an honest person. He reviews the shaila, and he learns over the sugya, and he sees that he didn't paskin right. How do we look at the tshuvas that were written by the later Rabbonim? Do we say that they wrote their tshuva influenced by the first Rav, and if his tshuva no longer is valid, he's no longer standing behind that opinion, we can no longer assume that the other Rabbonim would have continued standing behind their opinion? Or do we say, as Al Gemara says, Tolem Zeh B'Zeh, or do we say that every Rav that writes a tshuva, although he may review his colleague's correspondence, comes to an independent decision, and therefore his decision stands, even if his predecessor of the other tshuva no longer stands? Interesting shaila that he brings up. Continues the Gemara. Eisei Rav Ada bar Hava l'Rav. So Rav Ada bar Hava again questions Rav's explanation of the machloikis of Beisham Beis Hillel. Somebody said, Kainim batzel shani taim. A person says, I'm not going to eat onion. Shabatzel ra'al alev. Onions are not good for the heart. And this is the way the Marit explains the Gemara. Amrloi. V'loya kufri yofl alev. What happened here is when the person made the nether, says the Marit, he meant to prohibit all onions, because he was under the impression that onions are not good for the heart. Then they tell him, you made the nether because you have a heart condition. Kufri is good for the heart. What is batzla kufri? I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is kufri is the name of a place, and they tell him that the onions that grow in the place called kufri are good onions. Another pshat that I saw is kufri refers to kfar, villages. They told him that the onions that grow in villages are good. And another pshat is that kufri refers to big onions. They say, which onions aren't good for the heart? The small onions. But the large onions are good for the heart. So he says, hotbe kufri. So now he's allowed to eat the large onions. And says the Gemara, v'loi b'kufri b'vad hotar. Not only may he eat the large onions, ela b'cholak tzolim, all onions. And says the Gemara, my sahaya, there was a situation, v'tiru ramei b'cholak tzolim. He allowed him to eat all onions. Why? Because Rameya holds, because nedeshutim b'ktsasoy, hotakulay. My lav, what is the story? The Omar, the story must be that what happened was, originally he said, kala b'tzolim asurim, and now when he became aware the large b'tzolim are mutter, are good for the heart, he said, ilei ha'yisi yedeya, had I been aware, shakufri yofel alev, that large onions are good for the heart, ha'yisi ayim kala b'tzolim asurim, v'kufri mutter. So what is the case? That he didn't change his wording. Now let's go back to the beginning of the shir, says the Ran. When we explained, according to Rava, that Beis Shammai says, we don't say neder shotem k'tzasei hutakulay, why do we say Beis Shammai holds like that? Because we go to Tfois Loshen Rishon, the opinion of Rameya. So if a person said originally, Kol HaBetzalim Asurim, and then he remained consistent with saying, Kol HaBetzalim Asurim, Chutz Min HaKufri, he didn't change his wording. And says the Gemara, says the Rishonim, and explain the Gemara, if Beis Shammai holds like Ramei, Ramei holds like Beis Shammai. Ramei holds like Beis Shammai, so how could it be that it's Mutter? Rabbi Shammai, according to Rava, doesn't say in such a case, Nadashut Maktasov to Kulai. So the Ram makes two observations. He says that this assumption that the Gemara makes, that just that Beis Shammai holds like Ramei holds like Beis Shammai, is not necessarily true. It doesn't say it anywhere. It's an assumption the Gemara makes, and the Gemara could have answered that that assumption isn't true. Furthermore, says the Ran, the kasha the Gemara is asking on Rava is even more of a kasha on Rava. Because according to Rava, if somebody keeps the same wording, at least Rabbi Kiva will hold that we say Nedeshotim V'Tzasov Tekulai. According to Rava, that we began the shiur with today, everyone holds that if you don't change your wording, you don't say Nedeshotim V'Tzasov Natahu Tekulai. So how could we have applied Nedeshotim V'Tzasov Tekulai? So says the Ran, the Gemara could have asked the question on Rava too. Why did the Gemara ask? And the question is a question on Rava. But why did the Gemara choose to ask the kasha on Rava? Because since Rava, says the Ran, is the one that brought Ramei into our discussion, and Ramei is the one that's applying Nedeshut Mekutasu to Kulai, so that's why the Gemara asked the kasha on Rava. But if anything, it's more of a kasha on Rava. Loi, says the Gemara, the case here is Ba'ayme Ilo Yosi Yadeish HaKufri Yaflalev HaYosi Ayim Batzal Plani Surim VeKufri Mutar. Answers the Gemara, no. It's not that the person says I would have kept the same wording. I would have changed my wording. Originally, I would have said, I said all onions were asr. If I became aware that the kufri is good for me with the heart condition, I would have said this onion, this onion, this onion, I won't, and this I will. So now he changed his wording. So according to Rava, if he changed his wording, everybody agrees we say Nedeshut HaMuktasot HaKulai. Because according to Rava, when he changes his wording, everybody says Nedeshut HaMuktasot HaKulai. And according to Rava, that's according to Rava. According to Rava, at least it reflects the opinion of Reb Akiva, who says that when the wording was changed, we say Nedeshut HaMuktasot HaKulai. A few interesting points. The Rosh in the Tshuvas discusses the following shaila. Also, to happen. We have a group of people together, and let's say there's a Rav speaking to us, and he has influence, and he gets us excited about a subject to do something, and we all as a group make a nether that from now on we're going to do something, from now on we're not going to do something, as we've learned so many times in the Masechta, Nedarim are a good way to motivate people, and then all of us accept this nether, each one of us. And then one of us has the nether annulled. Is this going to be a case of nether shut to muktasa hutu kulay? Says the Rosh, that even though we all accepted it together, it's still not a case. Each nether is considered a separate nether, and we don't apply the case of nether shut to muktasa hutu kulay. Then there's another interesting stipler. The stipler says there's a shaila that's asked by the Shar HaMelech. Let's say somebody goes and he's magdish, two animals, for kabanas. And then it turns out that one of the animals is a balmum. So that hegdish was a hegdish betos. Because an animal that's a balmum can't be hegdish. Will we say that since one animal is not hegdish, the other animal is also not hegdish, because nedeshut hamuktasa hutakulai? Shaila the Shar HaMelech, the Rivash, others ask. Says the stipler, that we won't apply the concept of Nedeshut Mekutasot HaKulai. Why? So he says, a gvaldig gvart. He says, when do we apply the concept of Nedeshut Mekutasot HaKulai? When there's a nether, when we have a nether, and then the nether is partially annulled, so as we're learning, under certain conditions, we say Nedeshut Mekutasot HaKulai. When we have these two animals, one is a balmum, one is not, the animal that was a balmum never was a part of my nether, because there can't be hegdish an animal that's a balmum. So it's not a concept of nedeshut mektasa hutu kulai. You only could say nedeshut mektasa hutu kulai when it's one, when the nether was chal, and then I'm annulling part of it, so we say the annulment applies to everything. Here on this animal, it was never a nether. Then, to end our shir, I'll say a drushvart from Shlomo Kolga. Moshe Rabbeinu, as Klal Yisrael is about to go into Eretz Yisrael, says to Klal Yisrael, Gam bi hisanaf Hashem lemanchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at you, at me because of you, levilti ovri esayar den azeh, and he made a nether that I won't be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So there's an obvious question. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't punished that he's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael because of Klal Yisrael. He was punished because of his own Aveira, with the Mei Meriva, that he hit the stone instead of speaking to it. So why is he saying, Gam bi yisan of Hashem lemanchem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me because of you? Why is he blaming them? So Shlomo Kluge says, a gevalde gevart. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the nether of Klal Yisrael, the nether of Hashem. Hashem really made two nedarim. One nether he made to Klal Yisrael, to whoever participated in the Chet Meraglim, Chet HaEgel, will not enter Eretz Yisrael, anybody over 20 years old. And he made a nether to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it was one. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at it as one nether. Said Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, if it was my Aveira alone, it's very likely HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have forgiven me. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have forgiven me, it would have been a situation of nether shot to Mektsasai, Hatakulai. The entire nether would have been fallen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to be mad to the nether for the rest of you. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to be mad to the nether for you, he couldn't be mad to the nether for me, because he didn't want to create a situation of nether shot to Mektsasai, Hatakulai. So it's Lamanchem, it's your fault that my nether wasn't annulled and I didn't go into Eretz Yisrael.